بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Say, I seek refuge in the Lord of men,
the
King of men, the God of men, from the evil of the whispering of a slinking devil, who whispers into the hearts of men, from among the jinn and the men.
Another edition of Conscious Conversation. I am your host, The Jada J, and I just want to thank everyone for joining. We have a couple of special guests today. Welcome to the show, caller. This you, KJ?
Yes, this is me.
Okay, all right. Today, our show is about raising a child with autism. And today I have a very special guest. I actually have two. My other friend is not called in as of yet. But Carla Owens, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem. I appreciate you doing this for me. Carla and I have been friends for forever, since I was in junior high. That's my road dog, you know what I'm saying? And she's raising a child with autism, and also my friend Tiffany, who is also a wonderful friend of mine. I also have another great friend who will be listening. Her name is Kizzy. So, and I have a cousin. I know a lot of sisters who are raising children with autism. And I just, I lost my son, and I always tell my friend Kizzy I still wouldn't want her struggle. You know what I'm saying? I guess Allah gives everyone what they can handle. So with that being said, Carla, could you tell us a little bit about yourself? And then we'll get into, some things. Tell us about your son, Bryce. Hey, Bryce.
He is downstairs watching TV, but I will let him know that Ms. Jada said hello.
Okay, no problem.
I am Actually, Bryce was my first biological child. I have two children by marriage, and he is a teenager. He will be going into the eighth grade next year,
wow.
And I am very pleased with the progress that he has made over the years. It hasn't been an easy road by no means, but I thank God for the resources and the and just the support system that my husband and I have had in getting him, you know, as far along as we've been able to get him.
You are one of the few people who I know who has a husband that is dealing with autism. Matter of fact, you're the only one that I know, to be honest. Can you tell me what age was your son when he was diagnosed with autism?
Yeah, Bryce was two. So he had just had his second birthday. It was around towards the end of October. And being that I come from a big family, you know, and I have a lot of nieces and nephews, and like I was around you guys had children before I had children, most of my friends, but I knew what a child should be doing at the age of two, and he wasn't doing those things, you know, but there were some things that he was doing, so it was kind of confusing in the beginning, but just to be on the safe side, myself and CO decided, okay, well, we need to go to the pediatrician to try to see what the next steps are, try to see if it was an evaluation of some sort out there that we can get for him. But yeah, it was around two. He was about 2 years old. He hadn't his second birthday had just come.
Okay. Welcome to the show, Farlisha. Farlisha. Welcome to the show, Carol. So KJ, what was he not doing that, you know, or what was he doing like that made you say, you know, and did you have like a thought that it may be autism, you know what I'm saying? Like, what was he doing or not doing?
Yeah, well, he wasn't speaking. He didn't have as many words at that age that I felt like he should have. And typical things that a two-year-old does, like as far as playing was concerned, rather than play with the toys that we bought him, he would be more fixated on like going in my cabinet and getting the lid to a pot and spinning it like a top to try to get it to spin on its side. And he was fixated with that. He was obsessed with getting that to happen. And he would just keep turning the pot and keep turning the pot top until he got it to spin. And once he got it to spin, you know, he had this big smile on his face, and then he would just go at it again, you know. And I just knew that a typical two-year-old wouldn't be interested in just playing with a pot top, you know.
Right.
And like I said, and his words weren't there. So, but there were some things like, and it led me to go on the internet and start reading about autism. And back then, and that was back in 06, back then, there was a spike in the diagnosis. Autism finally had a name, but there were still very limited resources. Insurance still wasn't fully covering, you know, treatments for children on the spectrum because they really didn't know what the diagnosis was, how to treat it. They didn't know if it was a mental health issue or if it was a neurological, you know, some type of neurological disorder. So the only thing that I kept hearing over and over again as I was reading articles on the internet was early intervention is the key. You have to get them some help early. So I was just pretty much hell-bent on doing whatever I needed to do to get him where he needed to be, because at the end of the day, when you suspect that something like this is going on with your child, and then someone confirms it for you, you don't get a welcome to autism packet, you know?
Right.
it's not a package. You know, you just have to you have to figure it out. You know, some things are trial and error, and some things, you know, I was really blessed because when I first found out, it was kind of I won't lie, it was a kick in the gut.
That was going to be my next question. That was my next question. Like, how did it make you feel when you found out your son had autism when he was diagnosed? How did it make you feel?
It was a kick in the gut. It really was, because it was one of those things where it was the news that you didn't want to hear. You know, you were seeing it on the news, but you were like, no, you know, this can't be happening. But at the end of the day, I had my cry moment, but I felt like I couldn't sit and wallow in my sorrows saying, woe is me, because I had a child that was depending on me to get him where he needed to be in life. You know, so I couldn't sit back crying, wondering why God did this to me. You know, the only prayer that I had for God was I told God that you chose me and CO to be the parent of this child. And since you blessed us with him, I only have one request, and that is that you give my child words. Because that was the scariest thing for me, was being the parent of a nonverbal child that would not be able to verbally communicate with me. And,
yes, sons are nonverbal.
Yeah, and kids are all on all different levels of they're on all different places in the spectrum. You know, you have some kids who are high functioning; they just have their social skills aren't quite there. They kind of like socially awkward, but they're really advanced in their academics and things like that. And then you have some kids who aren't verbal at all. And God blessed me with what I asked him. He gave my baby words, and he's able to communicate. And I would say that as far as the spectrum is concerned, Bryce is probably mid to high functioning.
Right.
You know,
he's very intelligent.
Yeah, sometimes for his own good, but he's a character. He is a character. He keeps us going. But it was devastating. But you know, I didn't have time to go sit in no mothers of autism support groups. You know, that'll help me. You know, from crying about what the deal was, I had to manage the hand that we were dealt. You know, help manage the hand that we were dealt. So,
right. Let me welcome some people to the show. Dijudu, welcome to the show. Dude with the Arabic writing, welcome to the show. Hutchin D. Fifi, what's up, sister girl? Welcome to the show. Angela Robinson, what's up, Angie? Welcome to the show. Willie Muhammad, Sani Muhammad, salam alaikum, wa alaikum salam. I have some comments here, KJ, before we get to some of the other questions I have for you. Anthony says, autism shots for immunization, boys and autism. There does seem to be some type of correlation, but I'll get into that a little later. Well, can I ask you this? Were you concerned? Because had he yet had his immunization shots? Because I know my friend who's supposed to call in, her son could talk in the beginning, and then one day he just couldn't. And so was that a concern for you, the immunizations, or do you think that no, that wasn't it?
I wouldn't link Bryce's to the immunization shots, and the only reason why is the set of shots that are in question are like the second set of shots that kid gets.
Okay.
And and he had his first set of shots that you know he had to get whenever he went back for his checkup. But his first checkup. But the second set of shots, those were delayed because I was working from home and he was here with me, and I wasn't in a hurry. The only reason why I would have had to rush to get the shots or go and get that second set of shots would be to get him in daycare, because they weren't going to let him come to daycare if he didn't have those second set of immunization shots, because you know at the daycare or preschool, wherever, you have to give them the immunization record. And I wasn't in a hurry to do that. So his second set of shots were delayed anyway. And I was seeing things that concerned me before those second set of shots happened. So,
can I ask you, what were some of the challenges that you and your family have faced over the years, and how did you work through all of them?
Oh, wow. One issue that we experienced, it wasn't until our son was like 9 years old that we as a family were able to go to a restaurant. And this might seem like some people take things like this for granted, but it wasn't until he was maybe about 9 or 10 years old that we were able to go to a restaurant as a family and sit down and have a dinner in a restaurant without having him have a meltdown and us having to pack everything up into go boxes and go home. You know?
Really?
Right. And that's one of the reasons why that's one of the reasons why we cook a lot at home, because we wanted the have the same feel as going out to a restaurant, but because we were, you know, challenged, and I wasn't one of those parents that were with the babysitter thing, especially with a child with special needs, so I wasn't going to put my child off on somebody else just so that I can go out to have a dinner, you know. So that's one of the things that I always tell people is when you're sitting in a restaurant or when you're in a store and a child is crying or they're having some type of issues, be very discerning before you cast judgment, because you have no idea what that family is going through. You have no idea what it took for them to even muster up the nerve to get up and even attempt to go to a public place to try to have some type of normal, you know, type of setting to their life, you know?
I know Holly Robinson talks about a lot how difficult it was for her son to travel, to get him on an airplane. Did you have those type of challenges also in terms of traveling with Bryce?
Oh, no. Bryce loves the airplane, honey, and he loves to go. He loves to travel. He loves to go places, but certain things it wasn't preferred. If it was something that wasn't preferred for him to do, my husband and I had to take classes. We had to go and get ourselves trained we had to go to the Atlanta. We're here in Atlanta, and Atlanta has a place called the Marcus Autism Center. And when Bryce was first diagnosed, it was in late October. And the Marcus Autism Center was the only place that had a behavioral psychologist who could do a psychological evaluation or a behavioral evaluation on him so that we could get a diagnosis, because we needed a diagnosis. In October, when we went to the pediatrician, she gave us a referral for the Marcus Autism Center, but Marcus was so backed up. They only had one developmental pediatrician that was on staff there to do all these evaluations for all these kids. It wasn't until February of the next year of 2009 that we were able to get in. But like I said, God put all of provided us with all of the tools that we needed and stuff. People were just, Georgia has a program, the state has a program called Babies Can't Wait. And what that program is they knew that it was a gap between the time that a child parents were discovering that this kid, you know, might have had problems, and the time that you would actually be able to get in with a developmental pediatrician. So the state had a program called Babies Can't Wait, and they had occupational therapists on staff. They had speech therapists on staff. They had social workers on staff, and you applied for their assistance, and they would send somebody to your house to start administering these therapies until you can, until your pediatrician or you can get a diagnosis with Marcus so that your insurance can start picking up the tab. And the benefit of that, the state paid for that, and the benefit of that was being that we got him involved in that program, once it was time for him to turn three and he exited the program, the state of Georgia has a special needs pre-K program in their public school system.
Really?
So if you're just a 3-year-old, if you want to go to pre-K, you have to go to private, like a daycare or something like that. But if you're special needs, you can go to a public school because they have a special needs pre-K that starts with 3-year-olds. And after Bryce exited the Babies Can't Wait program, they set us up with a social worker came out to our house, and she helped us get the paperwork filled out for the school. And when he turned three, actually it was before he turned three because the school semester started in October, not October, I'm sorry, in August. And he didn't turn three until October, but because his birthday was before a cutoff line, they went ahead and let him start. So he's been going to school since he's three. And once he started going to the public school, they had the school would send speech therapists and occupational therapists to school. Plus, we had our private speech therapists and occupational therapists that we paid for. And we had, during the summertime, we hired tutors to come to our house to help him to make sure that during the off time that he didn't digress in any way.
It seems like Georgia is very progressive and had a lot of things in place, unlike some states.
Yeah, I say they've come a long way. They have come a long way because, like I said, in the beginning, there was only one developmental pediatrician over at Marcus, you know. But the Marcus helped us because they would have a lot of parent seminars. So myself and my husband would go, and that's how we learned how to try to pick up on different triggers. Kids with autism have triggers. We had to I'll give you an example. We would go to the store, and for no reason, if Bryce saw a kid, sometimes he would just run over and just hit the kid, just smack the kid. And we're trying to figure out why is he doing this, you know. So in the class, in the parental training that we did, they taught us start writing down what he's doing before you have him go to the store. And when you start writing things down, then you can determine if there's something consistent that's going on that's causing him to, you know, act out or behave this way. And once you identify what that is, you can put a behavioral plan in place so that you can help transition him from task to task. And what the deal was like he would be playing a computer or he'll be watching a cartoon or he'll be playing with something, you know. And I'll just say, come on, Bryce, we got to go to the store. And that's what he's doing is a preferred task. Going to the store is not what he prefers to do, and I'm interrupting him from doing what he prefers to do, you know?
Okay.
So,
right.
So what I would have to do is say, okay, Bryce, I'm going to set the timer. We had a timer, like just a regular, you know, clock timer. And I'll say, I have to set the timer, and in 20 minutes when the timer goes off, we're going to have to go to Publix, and then when we come back, if you do well in Publix, when we come back, you'll get to resume your technology or whatever it was that he was doing at the time. So you have to transition these kids from task to task to task and have them on a schedule so that they don't just, like, constantly have meltdowns.
Right. Welcome to the show, Sensei. Welcome, Willie, to the show. Sister Bonita, welcome to the show. My guest today is Carla Owens. She is raising a son who is autistic. And, you know, I'm asking her some questions, and she's doing wonderfully. Sister, I thank you so much for taking the time to enlighten the audience. The child with autism, I personally just cannot imagine. Let me ask you, I hear that some children with autism have sensory issues. What are some, or what were some of your son's sensory issues, and what have you guys implemented in order to manage that? Is that one of the things with the timer?
No, let me touch on one more thing from the previous question that I forgot. We also had another child that was in the house with us. When Bryce was 2, our other child was 10. And if you are raising a child on the spectrum, one thing that I would say is if you have other children in the household, if it's any way possible, so that those kids don't feel like everything that you do is geared towards the one child with special needs, you have to make time to do things special with those kids to make them feel like they're, you know, not left out.
Right.
And to make them feel like, you know, they are loved and they're just not, you know, pushed by the wayside. So, for example, because we would have to pick up to come home from dinners at restaurants, to make it up to our other son, Miles, either at some other date, either my husband or myself would say, okay, Miles, just me and you, let's go to a restaurant and go have dinner. What do you want to go? And he would get to pick the place that we would go. Or why don't we go and get a burger? We'll go get a burger, you know, and sit down or go to a movie, just one of us, and the other one would stay home with Bryce just so that he had something, just so that he didn't miss out on life, you know, because,
right.
You know.
And I heard Holly Robinson's daughter, you know, her RJ's sister is a twin, they're twins, and she said that same thing, that, you know, she felt like everything she could do. This is your,
yeah,
that's loud. Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, you're on. Yeah,
hello?
You're on. The window, it's like a
yes,
lot of,
ma'am.
It's a lot of static. I guess you're in your car.
Oh, really? Yeah, I apologize, sis. I'm actually driving at the minute. But if it's a bad connection, I may have to hang up because I've been getting a lot of interruptions throughout the day with this phone. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes, ma'am. It's just a lot of interference.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'll tell you what. Call me back in about 10 minutes, and then I'll proceed with my interview with you, okay?
Okay. Yes,
all
ma'am.
Right. All right. That'll work. Peace. I do apologize for that, but I want to make sure that we can hear Carla very clearly.
Oh, that's okay. But the sensory issues are things like you have some kids who might be severely autistic, like things like bright lights bother them or loud noises bother them, and they'll hold their ears, you know, so that's something that's sensitive to them. With my son, a couple of the things that he had sensory issues with was brushing his teeth and getting a haircut. It wasn't until maybe, yeah, so we would have to cut his hair at home. And it wasn't until maybe, I would say, 3 years ago that we finally felt like he was ready to start going to a barber, because we tried it early on and it just didn't work. It was a disaster. It was a meltdown. But I had to, you know, would have to brush his teeth for him. Now he does all those things. He's grown out of those things because he goes to the barbershop now and he has his barber. And as far as the tooth thing is concerned, with the dentist that we knew that there was going to be a.
I'm sorry, Carla. I was just welcoming someone to the show. I was welcoming Dale to the show.
Okay, with the dentist thing, the way that we transitioned, it got him to go to the dentist was we got a referral from our pediatrician, and she referred us to a dentist who typically deals with some kids, you know, that are special needs children. And the first couple of visits to the dentist that we had were what we call social visits. He got to know the class. They didn't do anything to his teeth. He sat in the chair. They took the the little air blower and blew it on his hand, and they took the little wand that they clean your teeth with and put it on his hand and told him, you know, it tickles, you know, or whatnot. And they asked him some questions, and they introduced themselves. And then the second time we went back, it was the same thing. It was like a happy visit, just so that he could get familiar with the people that were there, you know. And the next time he went, we got his teeth cleaned for the first time. And it didn't go like we wanted it to go, so they sedated him. But the third time that we went back to have his teeth cleaned, they were able to clean them without him being sedated or without any laughing gas or anything like that, and it went well. So he still doesn't like to go to the dentist like any general, you know, regular person.
I'm 50. Yeah.
Right.
Any other sensory issues before I move to the next question?
No, that was pretty much it for him.
Prince, welcome to the show. What about like what are some of the tips that you can give to our families raising a child with autism where education is concerned?
Be engaged. Like I said, I'm here in Georgia, and we are my husband and I are constantly getting emails. They constantly have seminars. The first thing is, if you don't have your child on a IEP, then you need to have your child on an IEP. And what an IEP is an education plan. It's a legal and binding document, and it dictates the learning environment and the structure of what your child is expected to do when he or she is in school, you know. For example, one of the things that I had in Bryce's IEP earlier on, because when he started going to pre-K, of course he was three, so I would drop him off at school and I would go pick him up at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock. They got out at 1 o'clock. And I took him to school and picked him up until the point where he got to, I think it might have been fourth grade. And they asked me in his IEP plan, would I be open to allowing him to ride the bus, because they felt like that would help his social skills. Because if I constantly kept going and picking him up and dropping him off, then on the bus would give him some interaction with other kids. And one of the things that stipulations that I told them is if he's going to ride the bus, then they need to have a bus monitor. And I had them write that in his IEP, that he was going to ride the bus and he was going to have a bus monitor. And at any point in time, if I went out my door when the bus pulled up at the foot of my driveway to drop him off and a bus monitor was not on that bus, then I could go and get me a lawyer and I could sue Cobb County School System because they violated our legal and binding document, which is the IEP.
So the IEP is like a contract?
Pretty much, an educational contract, pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, it's not just for kids who are like, for example, I had a friend who was a teacher, and she had a child who in her class that I'm assuming now, I can only assume that the child had been dealing with, it was a teenager, and the child had been dealing with the psychiatrist because they were like, they didn't like attention being drawn on them for whatever reason. Like the child was an introvert to my knowledge. And as a result, the child was seeking counsel, and to make sure that the child was not uncomfortable in a school type setting in any type of way that might trigger them to do something that might spiral into a depression or something like that, that might cause embarrassment to them, that child had an IEP, and the IEP had one line in it, and it was, in a classroom, if this child is in your class, you cannot call that child out and ask them to answer a question. So you know how a teacher will be like, okay, this is 2 plus 2. I mean, 2 plus 2 is what? You know, Jada, can you tell me the answer to that? You couldn't do that to that child because it was in their IEP. And every teacher that taught that child had a copy of that IEP, and you had to abide by what was in there. For example, with Bryce, when he went to first grade, he was one of the only children in his first grade class that was speaking.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I felt like that was that was not a it was not helping him progress, because if he's the only one in there speaking, then you know I felt like the classroom as a whole was going to be geared towards the majority, and he wasn't part of the majority. So at that point, I had to go up there, and we had to get an amendment to his IEP, and they had to break him out into smaller groups to other classes that had general needs kids in it, but he had a parapro to go into those classes with him so that he can be in classrooms with general needs students who are speaking and can read, because he could read, you know, and do all of those things. That way he's not trying to mimic these behaviors that these other kids are doing, you know?
What's up, Marcus? Bernadette said, yeah, small setting, that's implementing his IEP. And Willie said that you are giving, what you are saying will help a lot of people having trouble with lack of education or with the autistic child. And, you know,
right.
your nephew said, what's up? So, well, let me ask you this.
So, I mean, and like I said, with Cobb County, they'll say, we'll get an email saying, come to such and such school at 2:00 on this day, and we're going to have a representative that's going to be there helping parents understand the IEP. It's your responsibility as a parent to go and gain as much knowledge as possible. I mean, the resources are out there. You need to just go out there and Google and find out if anybody is giving a seminar on the IEP. Because if you don't know, if you don't have goals for your child, then they're going to establish goals for your child. And you want to be able to have a say in your child's education and how he is being guided, you know. And like, for example, here in Georgia, a special needs child can stay in school until the age of 21. At 18, they don't have to graduate if they don't want to. Now that Bryce is about to be in eighth grade, we're starting to get emails saying, do we want to come to sit in on a seminar to help us start the paperwork? Because at some point in time when he gets older, we're going to have to decide, okay, do we want do we feel like he is capable of going out and into society and getting a job, or do we want to apply for disability? And the school provides you, they have a liaison that with the state that help you fill out all of that paperwork for disability, so that you, because this child is going to grow up to be a grown man one day. And grown men eat like grown men wear grown men clothes, they wear grown men shoes, and if they're not working, then you're able to get these resources from the state so that they can get these benefits. And by you having an IEP and by you having a diagnosis and by you having all of that information, and you just have all this stack of paperwork, it makes it that much more easy for you to go and file for disability and get approved, rather than having to get denied and denied and denied and go backtrack, you know. But so just know that there are resources out there, even if it's just educational resources, so that you can educate yourself about what type of, you know, things are available for your child.
Right. What does your child have a special diet? I know my friend couldn't give her son gluten, I think it was. Does Bryce have a special diet that he follows?
We never went with a special diet from him. However, his food choices are limited. There's only a limited amount of things that we can get him to eat, you know.
Really?
Something, right. He eats chicken. He eats yogurt, you know. It's just a small I'm trying to get him to eat some vegetables, a lot of vegetables, but that's been a challenge, you know. Earlier on, in order to get him protein, I used to have to, like, he likes baked potatoes, so, and he likes sour cream on his baked potatoes, so I used to have to go get tofu, the soft tofu, and mix that in his sour cream and his baked potatoes so that he can get a source of protein. Or I would,
you know,
soy is protein,
though, right?
Well, now I don't do that anymore because now I've gotten where we got him on some chicken. So we getting his protein through chicken. But at that point in time, that's what I had to do. In order to get calcium, you know, I would make him milkshake, and he would eat milkshakes because between the ice cream for the milkshakes and the yogurt, those were the only two sources of calcium that he was getting because he didn't drink milk. Now, one thing I will say is he's not a sweet eater, and I'm happy about that because for the most part he drinks water. And I think that that's one of the reasons why he doesn't get sick as often as most kids is because he hadn't packed himself up with all these sugars and all this, you know, processed food.
Yeah,
he hasn't, his immune system isn't broken. You know, we break our immune system when we feed our bodies all of this crap, you know.
The show, Brother Jeffrey. Now, sister, I want to ask you this, because you're not doing this by yourself. You know, you have a husband, which I have to give big ups and big props to the brother, because, like I said, I don't know any of my friends whose man is present. So what were the challenges that you and CO had as parents and in your relationship as it relates to raising a son with autism?
It takes a toll. It really takes a toll. And my heart goes out to anybody, regardless of whether it's a male or a female, who is doing this by themselves, because it is a lot. One of the things that we did earlier on was, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I was just walking with someone to the show.
One of the things that we did earlier on was we made sure that we split, like, the responsibilities. So, for example, 2 days a week he would have speech therapy, and a couple of days a week he would have occupational therapy, and that required, you know, for us to take off our job, go pick him up from school, go take him to those therapies, you know, sit there and then, you know, come back home. So I picked the therapy. My husband picked the therapy. I was speech. He was occupational therapy. So he took him to speech. I took him to OT. As far as us having private time to myself, one of the things, being that I'm from Mississippi and my husband is not from here, we don't have any family here. So it was very, very difficult for us. And because we didn't have any family here, it was important for me, because my family was closest, for me to take my son down as often as possible so that he can get familiar with my sisters and my dad, you know, when my dad was living. That way, if we needed an outlet, those were familiar faces, you know, that I could leave him with and that he trusted, you know. So if we wanted to get away to do it, most of the time, if we wanted to go get away for a weekend, our weekend would be in New Orleans. We would drop Bryce off at my sister's house in Biloxi, and we would go to New Orleans for the weekend to hang out and come back and pick him up. Because, like I said, I didn't do the babysitter thing, you know. And now, like last year, the year before last was our first time going overnight and leaving him with our oldest boy because he, you know, had turned 21. And last year we left him with our oldest boy for like a week, almost a week, because we went to the Bahamas. And I just thank God.
And that was the first time in y'all married since y'all had the baby that y'all went on a vacation, like, alone?
Well, other than, you know, weekend trips down to, you know, New Orleans, or if we went to Illinois to my husband's house, we would take a couple of days to go up to Chicago and leave him at my mother-in-law's house, you know.
Right,
but for the
right.
most part, it was like, where we went, they went, you know, because I just didn't trust anybody to care for my child like that, you know.
Mariah, Yahoo L, welcome to the show. I wanted to ask you. Oh, Willie said it seems like autistic people don't trust much, and I found that to be very true. Is that true in Bryce's case? Is he a very good discerner of personality?
Yes, I would say yes. Bryce is the type of person where he knows if he likes you, and if he doesn't like you, he doesn't. He picks up on people's characters. Yeah. So.
I'm glad he likes me.
I feel like God blessed them with the sixth sense. Like they know when people don't have a good spirit about them, and they know, you know, good people. I've always felt like this because he's always expressed that. Anybody that he's ever been around, whether it was a teacher at school or something that he didn't care for, he let it be known, you know.
That's good. So does that cause you and your husband to be looking at that person with the side eye?
Right. And I used to be like, okay, Miss such and such, what you done did to my baby? You know, but no, I'm just kidding. I'm like, okay, well, Bryce, you know, and I would start poking him, you know, with different questions here and there. And so, and also they learned really quick that Bryce was a repeater. He came home and repeated everything that they said. And when I would go up there and pick him up, I would say, yeah, Bryce told me blah, 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 blah. And they'd be looking at me like, what? Even if it wasn't, most of the time it wasn't even anything regarding him. It was something that he heard them say to maybe another child or something like that. And
right.
I wouldn't say the child's name, but I would, you know, I would say it, you know. And luckily, I was friends with the lady who was his pre-K teacher. And she was kind of like a eye for me also, because once he moved to kindergarten and was out of her pre-K class, he had such a good rapport with her that the school gave her permission, because she wasn't his teacher any longer, that we could hire her during the summer as a tutor. So she would come over to our house every day during the summer. Because I was here, and he was here with me during the summer, and I just didn't want him to lose every. I wanted him to retain everything that he gained, you know, during the school year. And she came over. She didn't come over every day. She came over Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and she would tutor him for an hour.
Okay. Willie says Bryce doesn't play. I want to know, Sister Bernadette, you seem to know a lot. Is there someone in your family, Sister Bernadette, that is autistic, or do you were you a teacher or like an aide or something? Because you seem to know quite a bit. Kizzy Louise, welcome to the show, sis. This has been some wonderful, wonderful information. I am definitely enjoying the conversation and the jewels, as Willie was saying, the jewels that you're dropping, because you know, anyone who's dealing with this situation or has not yet or had a family member who's dealing with it, I think the information that you're giving will definitely be, you know, very, very helpful. Bernadette said it's important for you to be able to be part of the educational plan. Okay. What'd you say, KJ?
I said thank you for having me.
No doubt. You know, and like I said, you know, there are so many of our babies that have now been diagnosed with autism. I know Robert F. Kennedy Jr. had got in touch with the minister because someone at the CDC had blown the whistle that I think it was the MMR, one of these shots was causing autism in predominantly black children, like it was targeted. And, you know, so, you know, I'm always on the conspiracy theories or whatever. But, you know, like I said, a couple of my friends, their children are nonverbal. And I wish Tiffany would call back. So we could talk back to her. I just, you know, I wasn't able to hear you.
I mean, if you think about it, like, I really believe that autism has been around for many, many years. It just didn't have a name. And I'm going to give you an example. Remember in Ocean Springs in front of the YMCA, it used to be this young man. He used to have a radio. He was a white guy named Jimmy. They used to stand in front of the.
I remember Jimmy. Whatever happened to him?
Okay, now think about his characteristics. Think about his mannerisms, and think about, you know, what they have as some symptoms of children with autism, and those are the exact same thing: the rocking, the moving, you know, the repetitive behavior. Don't think that people had a name for it, you know. And in the black community back in the day, it was. Oh, such and such ain't crazy. They just play crazy. You know, that's what it was
right.
In the black community.
And, you know, my mom used to keep children. Not only did she keep down syndrome children, but she had two children who I know today were autistic. But like you said, they didn't have a name for it. They weren't Down syndrome, nor were they retarded, you know what I'm saying, or anything like that. But,
right.
You know, they were autistic.
Robin said he touched. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's exactly what they used to say. Carla, welcome to the show, 225. Announce your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, I'm Sister Bernadette. I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
What's up, sis?
And I was listening to the show and what she was saying. You have to be involved in every step of the way. You have to be in the IEP meeting, which is an individualized education plan. The accommodations where they ride a short bus with less children with an aide. They have an aide in the classroom with them. It depends on how many children in their class that have special needs. They would dispatch an aide. You also have, depending on the condition of the child, you have child-specific paraeducator that follow the child around, be side-by-side with the child, bring the child to different classes. And sometimes they are in classes with regular children, where children are sitting where they might give them a mentor that they sit next to that help them also.
Yeah, my son, the mentor that you're speaking about, my son had a mentor because last year in sixth grade, he's a musician. He plays the piano, and he wanted to try the band. And in his band class, because that was a breakout class for him, they assigned him. And rather than have the parapro like you just spoke of go to his band class with him, they assigned him a mentor in the class, which was one of his peers, and the young man that was his mentor did an excellent job.
Yeah, because you could get each or all. Educational plan. When you sit at the meetings and you have his therapist, speech therapist, whoever working with the child, they all come together and they get that plan together set up for that specific individual, that specific child.
Yeah.
And it helps them. And they're able to go to school till they're 21, and then they matriculate and another plan which helps them, where it helps them learn home, health care. You know, they're able to learn how to take care of themselves, basically. You know, how to brush their teeth, how we do in a home atmosphere. Because, you know, your parents not going to be with you all your life. At some point, they have to learn how to, you know, be able to go and talk to other people, get along, you know, be able to help themselves in their home, dress themselves, shower, and they have people that come and help them with that, teach them that part, go to their job with them, you know, teach them what their job is and help them, you know, until they're able
My son, they take them on field trips. Every quarter they go on a field trip, and they'll go to, like, a shopping trip. So they'll tell them in the classroom, make a shopping list, and on that shopping list, they'll take them to Publix, and they'll help them go to the register, pay for their things so that they can learn exchange of money, counting money, how to handle transactions like that. One of the things that I hate that happened in the school system, the public school system, and it's not just pertaining to special needs kids, but every child is not college material. And I don't know if you guys in Louisiana had it, but in Mississippi we had something called VOTEC. And VOTEC was for those children who weren't college material, so you could learn a trade, you could learn how to weld, you could learn an electrician, you can learn how to be a chef. You did all of that in VOTEC, and the federal government took away those funds for VOTEC. So that's why you have a whole lot of kids who graduate from high school and they out here lost because they don't want to go to college and they haven't learned any type of trade. So I feel like VOTEC or that type of program was good for especially high-functioning, mid- to high-functioning autistic children because it taught them some type of trade.
So let me ask you about...
Yeah, they have that program. They have it out here now. At first, they had got rid of it, and they realized everybody is not college material. They came back with that program. They have where you could take a trade or you could go to college. They have that now, that program set up.
So let me ask this, because the sister mentioned about you're not going to always be at home. But the sister who had called in earlier, her son is 29, 30. He's an adult, and he's autistic, Jamal. And I was hoping she called back to talk with her and the challenges that she deals with having a child who's an adult that's autistic. So, Carla, when it comes to, just my thinking of if it were me and having an autistic child, the one thing you can say about, being a parent of a child who is not special needs, at some point in time, they're going to get on and go on their own. right. How is that with you and your husband and being concerned about, your son, will he ever be able to live on his own? Will he ever be able to drive, to date? Do you see a time when he will be able to function without you and your husband?
I do believe that he will be capable of driving at some point in time. I hope that at some point in time he would be able to live out on his own. However, I'm not pushing him out in the world because I know that there's a cruel world out there. So, I mean, those are some things that we've been discussing here lately, like before, and I think I've talked about, me and you talked about it, previously, that at some point in time, whenever he gets closer to graduating from high school, we will probably have to transition. If he's going to be with us, we're going to transition to a bigger house that has a full basement apartment so that he can live down in the basement apartment. And even though he is in the same, dwelling with us, that he has his own sense of privacy. It'll be his place, that is at our house, that's linked to our house, but his own place. So, I mean, we just take it day by day,
Right.
It's day by day.
You have different types of autism, sister. You have some that are high functioning. Don't get me wrong. Those children are very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
You can never count them out. They're very intelligent. From what she was saying, her child into music.
Mm-hmm.
You have Beethoven, your composer, that was very intelligent. They will surprise you. They are geniuses in their own right.
Right. And I tell people all the time that with a child with autism, you need to teach to their strengths. Find out the strengths they have and the things that they're good at and teach that, and everything else will fall into perspective. Because if you try to teach to their weaknesses, you're not going to do nothing but frustrate them and they're going to shut down. And you don't want that to happen. It's certain things that you're not going to be able to teach them to do. Like, for example, my son learned how to read because we put closed caption on TV. So all of our TVs had closed caption on it. And every time he was sitting and watched TV, the words were scrolling across the TV. And now he reads at like a 12th grade level. So he learned, he taught himself how to read on closed caption.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And Bryce can draw very well, too.
Yeah, Bryce can do anything that he wants to do. Sometimes he's stubborn. He'll get in his stubborn mode. But, yes, he can draw. He has his memory. He has the memory of an elephant. He doesn't forget anything, you know. He's very inquisitive. Like, if I say a word to him and he doesn't quite understand it, he'll go over and he'll Google it. You know, one day he came home from his got off the bus, and I noticed that he was on the computer, and I was like, what are you doing? And you know how they have the new MapQuest thing that's out there where you can type in somebody's address and you can pull up their actual house? He sat there and pulled up the map, and he went through his whole bus route, and he showed me where all of his friends lived. He pulled up their houses on the computer. He said, this is such and such a house, and then he put that down, and he said, now the bus goes here, and then he pulled up the other person's house. So that made me feel good because he's aware of his surroundings. You know, he knows how to get – he would know how to get home, I feel like, if he ever got, quote-unquote, lost. Lord forbid.
Right. Tony says she teaches autistic children that they are awesome. Have y'all ever seen that movie, The Account of Adelaide?
The what?
The Accountant with Ben Affleck.
Oh, Affleck. Yes, that movie is awesome.
Have you ever seen the KJ? It is a great movie.
No, I haven't seen
You gotta see it.
Yeah, you really need to watch it. I mean, I want to watch it again tonight. But it's such a great, great movie. I don't want to give it away or tell it or nothing like that, but it's a really good movie. You should check it out.
You're going to love
it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really check it out. This has been a wonderful, wonderful conversation. You know, I definitely thank everyone for joining. Carla, I thank you for taking the time to, you know, share such personal information because I know this can be very hard. Sister Bernadette, definitely thank you for joining in the conversation. I didn't know that you were so versed in, the plight of special needs children. And everyone who joined, they are very intelligent.
I have a grandson.
Mm-hmm. Oh, little man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's four. Mm-hmm. And I caught it at an early age with him. When I started noticing different things about him, that he stand in front of the TV, repeat stuff off the TV, and he likes forks and spoons and knives. He liked the clacking noise of them. And he would keep his tap on. He wouldn't go to the bathroom. And then I got early steps involved. And then he got up. In school, Head Start, and he got his therapy and everything, and then he started seeing other children, how they wash their hands, how they go to the potty. But the only thing, he's scared, he pooped in his diaper because he's scared to sit on the toilet. The toilet scares him, the noise. I guess.
Really?
So he follows the other turn. He just started talking because at first he wasn't verbal. He don't talk. You know, he say straight words. He don't say a full sentence.
Yeah, he's very loving.
He hugs everybody. He don't meet no strangers. He rolled out a window in a car and said, hey.
And what she describes with her grandson is just like Bryce, and that's why I say every child is different, because if you look at some of the characteristics, they'll tell you that autistic kids don't like to be touched. And that was the exact opposite with my son. He's very affectionate. You know, he likes to give hugs. It's just every child is different. They are different.
Smart. A lady that was on drugs came up to him. He wouldn't let her touch him. But another person he saw wasn't on drugs. He let her touch him. Matter of fact, he reached out to touch her. And he liked pretty women. You pretty, you're a little girl or woman. He loved it.
Yes, Navi. I really thank you, ladies, for sharing your testimonies with me, because, like I said, you know, this is here, and anybody can access it and draw from it and get the information from it. You know, so if you know anyone who has someone in their family or someone close to you, know who has is raising a child that's autistic, please share this. Send it to them. Share it. Because the sister was dropping straight jewels, you know what I'm saying? And I think it was a wonderful topic. You know, thank you, KJ, for, you know, like I said, doing this. You know, this is great. Anything else, any last words, anything else that you want to say, KJ or Sister Bernadette or Sensei? You can
I would say is that, like, early intervention is the key. The sooner you get the child in their therapy and get them some help, the better off that they're going to be.
Okay.
And don't give up. Even if you're a single parent, there's help out there. A lot of people will help you. Believe you me, I was sitting in the Social Security office, and the lady who interviewed me, her son was autistic. That lady helped me, filled out the papers for me, helping me. You know, don't give up. Those children are geniuses. You catch it early, you'll be surprised. You know, they might be the next president. Don't count them out.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yep. Tony says they can be violent when it's too severe. I used to get crap beat out of me, but he didn't trust nobody but me and his mom. You know, yeah, that's, you know, that's something, because I have seen a couple of programs, well, news things where this woman, she had two children, and she killed her babies. Both of them were autistic, and she killed them. And another lady, she did the same thing. She just couldn't handle it. And I don't know if she, I think she killed the baby or ran off and left the child or something like that. So I know that for, you know, some people it can be very, very challenging. So, you know, big ups to all you mothers out there or families out there who are, you know, loving your babies and doing what is necessary to, you know, give your babies what they need to enjoy this life. And like I said, if, you know, if God is taking something from you, just trust and believe he's giving you three or four other things. And, you know, that's I have definitely enjoyed the conversation. Anybody have any last comments before we say goodbye to our guests? I hate Tiff didn't call back in. I wish Tiffany would have called back in. Yes, ma'am. Bernadette, you were saying something? Okay. Well, that's going to be our show for tonight. Again, I want to thank Carla Owens and her family, her husband, for sharing her testimony, her story, you know, and to my friends whom I know, you know what I'm saying, who have babies that have special needs, you know, like I said, I think they're the strongest women that I know, straight up. You know what I'm saying? The strongest women that I know. And, you know, with that being said, you know, y'all keep your heads up and keep doing what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? And when y'all children become these famous, intelligent, rich, hook the auntie up. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, this has been nice. KJ, thank you. Farlicia says this was very informative. Kizzy says, amen. Thanks for sharing. Willie says, for real, much respect, love the education. Demetrius Burton. What's up, Demetrius Burton from Biloxi in the house? Demetrius just joined the show, but it's over now, D. But I'm here every day at 7:30. So, again, thank y'all very much. You know, this was great. KJ, you know how we do.
Okay.
Sensei, all right. You know what it is. All right, thank you. Tell CO and Bryce I said hello, and Miles, y'all take care. Thank you.
All Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Abdulaziz, welcome to the show. Louis Ray, welcome to the show. It's over, but, you know, thank y'all for joining. Tomorrow we will have the Moors on. We'll be talking to some brothers from the Moor Science Temple. That should be lit. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, thank you very much. Y'all have a wonderful, wonderful night. Kizzy, thanks, Sister Jada, for your kind words and support. Peace and blessings, no doubt. Oklahoma has just passed a law for mandated vaccines for all residents. Ooh. Tanya Jenkins, what's up, Rumi? Alabama State in the house, my roommate. What's up, Tanya? The show's over, though, now, baby. Again, oh, see, you know, you see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying with this vaccine thing? But anyway, we're gonna have to handle that next week. Thank all my guests, everybody, for tuning in. And with that, you know, I'm going to close out the show like I always do with my song. See y'all tomorrow at
7:30. Say, I seek refuge in the Lord of men, the King of men, the God of men, from the evil, the whispering of the slinking devil, who whispers into the hearts of men, from among the gentiles and the men.
Peace to the God, Willie. Have a good night, and remember to make Allah sufficient. Peace. Good night, Sensei. Tyrant in the bathroom. Oh, they go topple, topple, topple.